When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. At this point, it's kind of amazing to me how often I get asked about Fallout 76. People will either message me directly or bring it up in conversation or jump on the Discord and post something saying something like, "Convince me to play Fallout 76," or "Is this game worth playing yet?" It's amazing to me. A lot of these people, I assume, have listened to my show. They've heard, even in the earlier episodes, that I was enjoying playing the game. And they've also heard numerous times between me and the patron guests and some of the other guests that I've had on the show that the game continues to improve. In fact, they've been adding some really cool stuff to it in the last few updates. And the next update, Skyline Valley, is just a few weeks away. So I thought I'd take this episode to explain some of the better improvements that they've made from a story perspective. I know that there are people who really enjoy the multiplayer online cooperative, shoot all the bad guys, collect all the stuff, build all the best gear, loot chase, all of that stuff. And yes, this game has that because that is one of the distinct reasons why this game is different from the other Fallout games. But I think what most people are really getting at when they ask these questions is something more like, is the story any good? Will I find characters that I like? Is the world interesting? So I want to answer some questions about that and give you some reasons why I think Fallout 76 quests are improving. So in this episode, there will be a few spoilers. Of course, it's a lore cast, and so a lot of times I can't talk about a topic without actually talking about the topic. And usually, I wait a significant period of time before going into depth on any of the new quests or new updates and things like that. I usually try to give that a significant period of time. And I think enough time has passed with Atlantic City and the update and the quest lines around that to talk about some of that content because it's important. It's important to the point that I'm trying to make. My point is that the quests in Fallout 76 have continued to improve and engage the audience. And I know exactly why, or at least I feel like I know exactly why, you might be disappointed by them. If you are somebody who is expecting a Fallout 4 or Fallout 3 or Fallout New Vegas kind of questing experience, there are some reasons why these quests will never be exactly the same as something like that. And I'm going to get to that. But aside from the one sticking detail, which we'll talk about, I think that these quests are up to par. They're good. Now, we can talk about the Brotherhood and the expansion with that side of the quest line, I guess you could say. And then we could also talk about the Foundation Settlers and the Crater Raiders and the quests that you could do there. And if you've played 76 sometime in the last few years now, you've probably done a lot of that content already. But you may not be somebody who's familiar with Atlantic City and what goes on in Atlantic City and why those quest lines might be a little bit different than what you're used to. So first of all, I want to talk about the Devil's Blood questline, the Sins of the Father, because this is, I think one of the big examples to me of the, I guess you could say, the developers really starting to hone in on what makes a Fallout quest feel like a Fallout quest, and how to incorporate some of the updates that they had made with these expeditions that took you off the map to another map somewhere, and kind of tie that back to the main map, which I think is a preliminary step to what we're getting in Skyline Valley, where we actually have a real extension of the map. And so when you get this quest, you pick it up in the regular map at a location, the Rose Room. This is one of those old buildings that still stands, and you can find it in the map. It's kind of towards the center, up a little bit north, and there will be a quest that pops at some point that kind of heads you over in that direction. And when you get to the Rose Room, it's an interesting location. You walk into the building, and it looks like a little piece of Atlantic City. There are slot machines. There's a bar. If you go under to down below into the basement area, then there's a stage. There's performances. This feels like a little bit of Atlantic City moved into Appalachia. And there's a reason for that. This place was created by the Russo family. Evelyn Russo was a performer. And when you get there, you find out that she's performing. This is the opening night, and she's going on stage. And then, of course, things don't go to plan, at least not for Evelyn and her family. You also meet some of these other characters, and I'm not going to take you step by step through the quest line, but I do want to point out some of the parts of this that make it feel like something truly Fallout. Very quickly, you meet these other characters, and they all have very clear personalities, motivations. The voice acting is actually very good. The over-the-top Evelyn, who sounds like this performer who's, oh, so stressed with the world, and then her children. And this quest line focuses a lot on Abby, the daughter of the family, who is suffering an addiction to devil's blood. This is a new drug that has been designed based around, and we find out eventually later, a monster's actual blood. We learn about the Russo family and their harvesting of the Blue Devil's blood, and these are creatures that we come across in this quest line and in the game, and exactly how terrible this drug is, how rough this addiction is. It's described by another one of the characters, one of the high rollers that you come across in Atlantic City, as a horrifyingly glorious trip, creating a feeling of reaching out for a life that had been kept from him, but not quite grasping it. It's seemingly immediately addictive, and Addictol can't cure it. That is our go-to for when you take too much in the game and you've decided to buff yourself up, but then you don't want to deal with the addictions. You have to have some Addictol with you. But this doesn't respond to that. It is a more nefarious kind of drug, and Abby is addicted. And so the quest line focuses in and around her addiction, her brother and her brother's attempt to help her, the father of the family who has kind of lost his marbles in the parlance of the, I guess, the old timey parlance that they bring back in the Fallout series. And then we find out that, of course, things are not exactly what they seemed. And like I mentioned before, I'm not going to take you through every step of the quest line. I think this is something that you should go play. But I wanted to point out enough details about this in order to explain to you why I think this quest line is a turning point. First of all, this isn't just a fetch quest kind of quest line. This isn't just you show up and you talk to a character and then they say, hey, can you go get me some of these? Can you go tell this person a thing? And then you travel across the map somewhere else. This is a series of events that dig deeper and deeper into the lives of these people. We learn as we go through the quest line who each of these people are, what their relationship is to each other, what their relationships are to the gang in Atlantic City. This quest line takes you back and forth across different locations, and for very good reasons. There are reasons why you want to fast travel from this location at the Rose Room in Appalachia to Atlantic City and to go to very specific places on that map. It also treats these excursion locations, or at least Atlantic City in this case, not like an excursion. If you don't like that part of the game and you don't want to go do an excursion, which feels kind of like a extended dungeon, this is a reason to go to a place and walk around and take a look at things. And yes, large swaths of this are more or less passageways with enemies that you have to go through in order to get to a location that's a little bit further. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't just run past a lot of the enemies if you really wanted to. You could. You don't have to kill everything. But it does bring you across some of the new creatures and some of the new locations, and you get to see rundown parts of the city and meet other characters as you go through this. So it's interesting. It doesn't just feel like a fetch quest. So to me, that feels like one of the first components to this feeling like an actual fleshed out quest line and not just fodder. What I'm doing here is I'm addressing some of the complaints people have with these always online cooperative or MMO style games, is that a lot of times they pad things out. They want you to continue playing, and so they give you extra things to do that don't really play into the story. And I feel like pretty much every step of this quest is needed for the story. None of it feels shoehorned in or padded. Also, sometimes you're walking around with another character. You meet a character at a location, and then you travel together, which is another interesting way to spend time with these characters and get to know them a little bit. Another one of the complaints that you could level across Bethesda, or that I've heard people talk about with the more recent Bethesda games, is that they tend to be a little softer. With the release of Starfield, a lot of people were complaining that it felt more like a hard T rating than an actual M rated game. And there are some moments of gore or drug use and things like that in the game, but by and large, it is not a game that I feel bad about my 13-year-old, who was 13 at the time when it came out, watching or playing himself. I don't think that there's any problem with that. So let's talk about this quest. This quest deals directly with drug addiction. This is a very serious thing, and not just any drug addiction. This isn't somebody who accidentally took, too many stims or something. No, this is somebody who is addicted to this world's equivalent of heroin, and they are suffering for it. And she has a family with mixed agendas. As you go through this quest line, you interact with the other characters, and you come to find out that some of these characters feel more responsible, or should feel more responsible. Maybe that's the case. And so you end up having conversations with them where you can push them in a specific kind of direction in the conversation tree to either take more responsibility, or you can convince them, oh, don't worry, it wasn't your fault. Or you can follow up and just say, hey, I'm just here for the caps. I don't really care. Get your stuff together yourself. Those are your options in the conversation. And that feels more like the Fallout games that came before 76. Now, there's one sticking point with this, and this is what I mentioned earlier. There is a limitation to your freedom of choice in games that are designed like this. You can see it in Elder Scrolls Online. You can see it in other MMOs. You can see it in Fallout 76. If this was truly a single player RPG, there probably would have been an option to just walk away or to derail this quest line in a very different direction. And maybe the word probably is too strong. There may have been an option. In some quest lines in games like Fallout 3 or New Vegas or Fallout 4, you can push the quest in a direction where it doesn't complete in a quote unquote satisfactory kind of way. What do I mean by that? Well, this quest is very important for gameplay reasons as well. In order to unlock some of the plans that you definitely want to have in the game, in order to unlock basically the civil engineer armor, torso and limbs and legs and all of that stuff, along with the Jersey Devil plushie. But in order to get that stuff, you have to go through this quest. That's where it drops. And that's a big benefit. That, in fact, that's a big reason if you're somebody who's playing this game to make sure that you take on new quests as they come up, because that's actually a really nice reward. That's something I want to see more of. But at the same time, that's a double-edged sword. When you put good, high-quality rewards that most players should have access to behind a quest line, then you also have to make sure that you can finish the quest line in a way that hits some sort of conclusion and makes sense and is roughly similar for everybody. So although you can decide to follow through with the conversations at the end of this and just kind of be a hard ass and just be like, yeah, well, you guys figure it out. I'll just take my caps and go and complete the quest. It doesn't allow you to push the boundaries of this quest line in a really sideways direction. What if you decided to not just do the I don't care option, which feels like, I don't know, kind of just chaotic neutral, and you really wanted to go evil with it, then you decide to lie about what's actually going on, the source of the drug, or you decide to steal the drug and take it for yourself and use it on people in order to get them addicted, in order to drive the quest line in a direction where you're some sort of terrible human being and you're doing this in a very dark way. That would require moving the quest line off the tracks that feel like are underneath it, that are always going to guide you to some sort of common resolution. It's kind of similar to watching shows like The Simpsons in the 90s end every episode in a way where the next episode could have happened at any point in the storyline. Not a whole lot in that world by the end of any episode actually is permanent, actually feels like it moves the greater story forward in any significant way, or at least for a while. Now, eventually shows move beyond those boundaries, and the trend now for most shows is to be episodic and everything moves the plot forward and you've got these gigantic long arcs. That's an evolution that has happened over the last 20 to 30 years in TV. This feels like it's not exactly the same thing. So don't draw an analogy here that I'm not trying to make. The analogy I'm trying to make is this is a style of quest, just like those are a style of episode, that allow the world to be a little bit more open and even for multiple players who are in it all at the same time. Here's another example. In Fallout 3, you have the ability to nuke Megaton. Everybody remembers this quest line because when you decide not to go down that path, everything seems like it's going to plan. The city continues to exist. You can go talk to everybody in the city. You can have locations that you are very familiar with in that city. You can have your own apartment in that city. But if you decide to go down the path of nuking Megaton, there's not a turn somewhere in that quest that goes, oh, our plan got foiled, the bomb didn't work, the city still gets to exist, even though you had bad intentions. No, the city gets removed from the map. That is the sort of thing I'm talking about here. Now, I'm not saying that Atlantic City would get removed from the map, but what I am saying is, because of the limitations of online play, you can't have extreme differences in the way that quest lines will play out. So what I'm saying is this feels like it's in that range of, well, it needed to wrap up in at least a similar sort of way, depending, regardless, I guess, of what you specifically chose. That's where we're at with this. And that's a little bit of a disappointment. But at the same time, I do feel like they gave you a lot of options with how you can handle the conversation, how the characters react, and one other thing, which I think is important. But we have to go thank our patrons. We'll be right back.
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, taking a quick break to thank our patrons. Welcome to the Patreon. Wasteland Ronin, Vilma, Zachary C., Shelby 33, and Jamie H. Welcome to the Patreon. I'm so glad that you're here. I hope you are enjoying your ad-free episodes, or maybe the t-shirts and stickers that you will get when you stick around long enough, or joining us on the patron chats if you're at the tier where you can do that. Lots of fun stuff at patreon.com/followlorecast. And if I'm helping you get through your workday, your weekend, your commute, your workout, any of that stuff, then go check it out. Maybe send me a little bit of kickback and get some cool stuff. Also, I have to shout out our SentryBot tier patrons, Germinator and Pluto Mayhem. Thank you so much for your support as well. And I need to read out some more reviews. We got a bunch of reviews over the last month after the Fallout TV show, and I've got to get through some more of these. So let's knock out some other ones real quick. This one is from Madelinals Third, I think is how you pronounce that. An orange colored sky. In 2020, when the world felt like it was ending, I would spend the evenings watching my younger brother play Fallout 76 with my then boyfriend, now fiance. Congratulations. In a time of uncertainty, there was something oddly soothing in playing through a game about the end of the world with a banger soundtrack. I picked up gaming for myself because I was fascinated with this postmodern future and began with Fallout 3 and then dove into 4. I have always been so interested in the lore, but only decided to dig into it when the Amazon show finally came out. That's when, glash bam, alakazam, I stumbled upon the Lorecast, and I'm so glad I did. It's been the perfect thing to listen to as I run errands or do chores about the house to keep my brain stimulated from the excellent insight into a really fascinating franchise. I started from the beginning and I'm still working my way through, but this is a must listen for anyone who loves a thoroughly built out world. Well, thanks so much, Madeline. And this one comes from Postal Gem in the US, who writes, Postman in the mountains appreciating this podcast. Mr. Robot, thank you for doing these podcasts, or this podcast. It is a wonderful companion, so to speak, on my routes. Walking all day and having this podcast has been a newfound blessing. Not only that, as a deaf man with a cochlear implant, not many voices are clear enough for my understanding, but wow, this podcast has not failed me yet. Please keep up the great work. I love listening to this on my daily routes. All the best, Jem. Oh, that's awesome. I'm so glad that this is, I guess, designed or mixed in a way where it actually works for you. That's really cool. Thank you for taking the time to leave that review. Thank you to everybody who helps support the show. And if you want to leave a 5-star review, I'll read it out on the future episode of the show. You can also rate the show on Spotify, share it with your friends, all of that stuff. But we've got to get back to the topic. So here we go.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, so I've been teasing this other point, I guess, before the break, and I have to get to it here. I mentioned earlier that people think that Bethesda has gone soft, that they have strayed away from difficult topics, from dark topics, and the kinds of things that we enjoyed in some of their earlier games, or at least the earlier games in the Fallout series that they produced, in Elder Scrolls and that kind of thing. But this quest line is about heavy drug addiction. This is a thing that, at least in the United States, you probably have met someone, at least, if not struggled with some sort of addiction yourself. This is something that touches everybody. And the concept here is that they're taking this devil's blood, the blue devil's blood, and using it to create a drug that is extremely addictive for their own financial gain, the gang's financial gain in Atlantic City. And in doing this, got one of the gang leader's daughters addicted, and he has to deal with the fallout from that. And pun not intended, but you get where I'm going here. This is a serious, real issue. This isn't just some mustache twirling villain with some sort of plot to kidnap the good guys, or you get what I'm saying. This is a real issue. And it's dark. And the decisions that you get to make, in fact, the conversations that you get to have later on in this quest line, where you can challenge their decision making and the responsibility that they do or do not feel for the events that have transpired here. That's all part of it as well. This is a dark quest. And because of that, it feels like the other games. It feels more like the other games, except for that one sticking point. I wish you could actually vary a little bit more on where you go with this quest line. And I think that there are ways that they can probably do that. I think if they focus a little bit more on the variations that you can choose, and maybe even turning the quest in a direction where you can't play through everything. You can make there's got to be a name for this in game design, a decision where you rule out some of the quest chain in order to pick a different option. And I get that they want everybody to be able to play through everything. This is an online game. It's not that easy to make a new character and get all the way back up to that point where you can make that decision on that specific quest line. Although, is it that difficult? Is it so much of a hindrance that people wouldn't make another character and play through it? What if some of the things that you collect get actually shared across your entire account rather than individually for your character? Maybe that would open up the quest lines a little bit more, or the potential for the quest lines a little bit more. I don't know. I think maybe this is a question for the devs. If you're one of the developers and you're listening to this, let me know. Am I wrong? Are these constrained for reasons that I'm incorrect about? Or are there openings that I just haven't seen in these quest lines that actually do make them feel more open? Do you notice that there are similarities and differences between quests like this and quests from the other games? Or is this something I'm just imagining? Let me know. Now, the episode's not done yet. Don't go anywhere. There are reasons why I think this quest is a good sign for what we are getting in Skyline Valley. So what are we getting in Skyline Valley? Well, I haven't myself opened up the PTS and gone through the quests. I'm saving that for when the drop actually happens, probably later this month. But we do know some things. First of all, the map has been expanded. They've made a real update to the actual map, not just in another location that you're going to. And in that location are something like 20 something new little locations, the points of interest, places to go, places to talk to people or find things or discover new monsters. The location feels very fleshed out, and like much of the Fallout 76 map, which is one of its really strong suits. You have different dynamic situations. You've got different biomes. The map is very diverse, and this continues to add to that. There's a dark, ominous sky with lightning strikes, and the world in this part of the map looks very unique and different, and is very designed, from what I've heard or read about, around real locations, just like the rest of the map. They're taking actual real locations from the Shenandoah Valley, like Skyline Drive and some of these other locations, Skyline Valley, you get the combination of words there. And they're building out another real, quote unquote, real place that you can go and see things and how they are similar to places that we might have been and yet different in the Fallout universe. All of that is awesome. But the most important thing to my point here is that we are getting other quest lines with characters and people in this part of the map that are going to play out in probably very interesting ways. The writing has been improving, and in Skyline Valley, we will be meeting a group of ghouls. I believe they're from Vault 63, and they're not exactly like any ghouls that we've met before, because they are electrically charged, which sounds super crazy, but I'm excited to see what that is actually like. I mean, we have glowing ones. We've got some weird ghouls. We have weird mutated creatures. Why not some that are permanently electrically charged because of the storm? And we have another vault. This is exciting. Vault 63. We get to discover what actually went on at this vault. Did the events that played out in this vault change the atmosphere and the weather in this part of the world? How does that work? It's also been said that the main character that you deal with in the vault, the overseer of this vault, is a ghoul. He's one of these electric ghouls named Hugo Stoltz. And Hugo was a former board member at Vault-Tec. So they have taken this opportunity to extend the map and add in details that I think are going to flesh out our understanding of ghouls a little bit more, of Vault-Tec a little bit more, of some of the wacky technology in the world of Fallout that are affecting the environment and the things that people were dealing with and experimenting on. A location that is based on a real world location and yet changed in ways that are interesting and new. This is a lot of story and environment that I think is headed in the right direction. If they're using Fallout 76 to not just add to, oh, well, the Brotherhood was over here also during these early years of the war and extend the story in those kinds of ways, but actually reveal more of the background about Vault-Tec and about how ghouls work and these kinds of actual stepping stone bits of lore that increase our understanding of the world in really dynamic and interesting ways. And I think they're headed in the right direction. And that's where I'm, that's why I did this episode. That's, I wanted to take you through the quest line that is probably the most recently written one, I'm pretty sure, out of the whole thing before this update, to say, okay, what are they doing and how will this play into future updates? So my prediction is that the story in Skyline Valley will be 100% worth doing. It's going to be the kind of thing that you're going to want to play. And I hope I'm right. We'll find out in a few weeks. Let me know your thoughts. I'd love to see, read some of your thoughts on the Discord or wherever about this, because I think that there's a lot of cool stuff coming our way. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back next week and have a wonderful week. Stay safe out there. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.